You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD, where I talk to everybody about anything and everything, different guests and a different topic every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. Hello, and welcome to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and today I'm talking to Josh Golden, president and founder of North Point Financial and Insurance Services. How you doing today, Josh?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for asking.
How about Great. You doing? I'm doing good. Thanks. So we're going to be talking about financial services and insurance services today. And let's get started by asking you how long you've been in this business.
Actually, August marked my 10th year. Believe it or not, 10 years now.
Well, that's quite a while.
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely I've definitely been at it a while, but that's for sure.
Are you doing anything to celebrate your 10-year anniversary in the business, or?
Yeah, I'm trying to get out.
That's good. What got you interested in this type of work, actually?
Well, you know what it was. It was nothing so glamorous or full of glory. It was just there was a girl, and I wanted to marry her. Oddly enough, isn't the girl I ended up getting married to and having a wonderful family with, but but I wanted to marry this girl, and at the time I was a pitch man going to home shows and county fairs all across the country.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, selling things like, you know, cookware and super chamois and all that. And
wow.
I had known that for several years, and I knew a few guys who were doing it along with having a wife and family, and I just didn't want to live their life. You know, either being away from their families forever or dragging them all across the country on the road like that. I just didn't want to do it.
Well, but you did do it for a while, though.
I did for about 5 years.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So I finally decided that I had to find a job where I could make doctor money without having to go to doctor school.
Right. Okay.
And I kept hearing that insurance was one way to be able to, you know, be wealthy and to do well, and so that's what got me interested. And I started with a company called the Aon Corporation with one of their lesser known entities underneath them called Combined Insurance.
Okay.
I sold insurance for Combined, mm-hmm. for an outfit, and then very quickly realized that I could do better and make more money doing basically the same thing, but in a more traditional insurance sales setting. So I quickly went and started selling insurance for Aflac.
Okay, yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard Aflac, the duck. I got there before the duck. And
I just wanted to ask you what is maybe the difference between, like, you mentioned traditional sales and what else was it that you did, like, with the other company?
Right. Well, Combined Insurance, they're kind of like the multi-level marketing of insurance.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not even true. There's a company out there called Primerica, which is even more so.
But right. Combined, familiar with that.
Combined is a close second to that structure. And so I was kind of brought in, you know, kind of as in this multi-level marketing sort of gig where, mm-hmm. they have to put you through school and license you and then officially train you. And literally, they actually have to spend thousands of dollars to training you. Yeah, just to train you properly, you know, but because the state of California is pretty strict about who can be an insurance agent.
Right.
But it really is that kind of structure, if you ask me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it just seemed that way. So going to a more traditional, you know, agency or broker setting where you're the agent and you deal with an upline that trains you and helps you, but you're kind of on your own. Was a little, you know, there's no network, there's no structure, you know, not that kind of a networking structure.
Right, yeah.
You know, that where it just, and by doing so, because people aren't making money on you 10 deep and 6 wide and all this stuff, more of the commission ends up in your own pocket.
Right, yeah, that's good.
That's why I decided to do that.
And what did you do as far as, like, to get started on, you know, like, with that other company? What did they do as far as education or to get you started? Did they?
Well, with Combined, well, to take the difference, with Combined, what they did is they put me through insurance licensing school. They had their own school, so it was a really great school, but, it's like number 2 in the country, their school was.
Oh, really?
But only people that were working for Combined could go to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I had the license, you know, then they gave me the combined training for their sales product, Once I had the license, though, I could bounce around and go anywhere at that point. I stayed with them for a little bit, you know, not to be, so I wasn't just leaving them right away, you know, say thank you for the training and I'm going to go now. Mm-hmm. I stayed for a little bit, but then I was able to move at that point pretty much anywhere I wanted to, you know, with the licensing that I had, with a minimal of training, because all the training that I needed to have after that would just be on any particular company's product line.
Okay, so the initial training, though, that's valid in with other companies or anything. That was like a traditional type of education for that.
That's a California state insurance license.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, you have to have that. And actually, oddly enough, California is one of those states where if you have this was true when I was an EMT as well, an emergency medical technician, and with being an insurance license as well. California is one of those states that's so strict in much of their licensing requirements that you can take that license, and if you move to another state, there's really no, you don't have to really go to school or anything. You just got to take a quick and easy exam or just pay a fee, and they'll grant you a license from that new state because California is so strict in its licensing requirements.
Okay, so that's good.
It's one of the better of several other, a few others that are out there, you know, that you could have, I guess, if you are thinking of going into insurance but might move at some point in the future.
And what happens as time goes on? Are there like refresher courses or any upgrading that you have to do?
There's a whole gamut of continuing education that I've got to do every couple of years.
Mm-hmm, okay.
You know, it's just, you know, every 2 years I got to renew it, and I think I got to do 30 CE credit hours and mm-hmm. and just keep it going. You know, but that's easy to do. It's the fees that'll kill you, though. You know,
yeah.
I now after 10 years, I have two separate insurance licenses to sell different kinds of insurance.
Okay.
And each license costs me, I think, $144 to renew every 2 years.
Now, those two separate licenses are we talking the financial services and then insurance services?
It's more like life and health and disability. And then the other is more for like auto and home and general liability, those kinds of things. You know, I'm licensed to sell a lot more kinds of insurance than what I actually do sell.
Okay. Is there, we'll get it more into the business and you know, that end of it, but what makes you want to stick with the financial and insurance as opposed to some of those other areas that you could get into? Is this your area of expertise, or is it just...
It's just more interesting to me. You know, I'm more geared, I'm personally wired for helping people, I like getting into them. I like getting in their heads. I like, you know, knowing what's their hopes and their dreams and all these things, you know. And I'm really lousy at wanting to have to do the day-to-day service of being like, you know, oh, okay, you need a new insurance card for your auto insurance?
Right, okay,
or,
yeah.
Okay, oh, someone broke into your home, let me get you that claim started. I really can't stand that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
I see that. I was going to say with the financial end of it, you're you know, dealing direct with their planning and all that sort of thing, and
right. And the follow up that I'm doing is it's a once a year or once every 2 year follow up, and mm-hmm. the only thing I'm really doing is I'm just keeping an eye on financial markets and on the whole,
right.
All I have to do is really keep myself educated on financial markets, you know, on as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to be educated in certain products as well, but really, more than anything else, as long as I know what the markets are doing in general, I'm still doing a good job. Whereas if you're a property casualty, you got to know every little product and every little nuance of every little thing, and then you got to know the laws in the state and how they change all the time, and that just seems to me to be a lot more tedious.
Now, again, we'll probably get more into this later, but the financial part of it, are you actually, do you do any investing, that kind of thing, or is it...
The investments that I do, I've to do traditional like securities investments, like stocks and mutual funds.
Right, right.
You need to have a securities license. At the very least, a Series 6. If you're going to do the more serious stuff like stocks and bonds, you got to have a Series 7 license. Mm-hmm. I refuse to have that kind of licensing. I've never found that doing securities was something that I felt that I needed to do or wanted to do.
Okay.
So especially when it's just there's so much. With the NASD just breathes down your neck so hard when you have one of those licenses, and it's not, I do everything by the book, and I'm a law abiding, ethical insurance professional that the fact of the matter is I don't want to have to submit for approval every time I want to change the byline on my business card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just want to be, if I want to make a change to my logo or my business card, I just want to be able to make a change. So I've refused, you know, that's one of the big things that's just kind of kept me away from doing that kind of stuff. I just don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
I do refer people to the securities licensed professionals. I still believe in those products. I still think that they have a valid place in the market, and I refer out, and I know I don't get paid for them, and no, I don't get a commission split, but I do get free lunch from time to time. I do get free golf from time to time. I get other perks from the
nice people. Perks, yeah.
You know, so I'm not complaining either, you know, and I mm-hmm. certainly... But the investing that I will do is I will help people when an annuity is appropriate. I'll do an annuity for them. There are certain instances where life insurance is a fantastic investment product for certain people in certain circumstances, and so I'll do that as well. When it's structured properly, it can be a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
So do a lot of good earning and without having to pay taxes on the earnings as well if you take the withdrawals correctly. So like I say, those are the things that I can still do that still count or can be qualified as investments.
Right, okay. We're going to take a break, and then I want to come back right away to something that you had mentioned in preparation for the show here, actually, is something about a main niche. We'll come back to that, and then we'll discuss a little bit more about the business end and the day-to-day activities and things. So we'll be back right after these messages. Okay, we're back, and I'm talking to Josh Golden. He is the president and founder of North Point Financial and Insurance Services. And that's actually located where, Josh?
We're in Lincoln, California. We're
okay.
we're an insurance agency, or as some people call it, a brokerage.
Mm-hmm.
And we're incorporated, so it's a separate entity, and I run it here. I run it out of my home. I don't hide that. I used to have a big, huge office, and I had several employees, and I realized that after it was all said and done, and I was done paying the bills and done paying the employees and done paying everybody, I was only taking home maybe $10,000 to $15,000 more dollars per year.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like I was having to do a lot more work for it. You know?
Yeah. When you got the overhead.
So when things, you know, like one person went out, you know, just different people, when they moved away or had kids, I just didn't refill the spots until finally I was able to move out of the office. And now I'm back at home, and I love it.
Well, that's cool. And you've also got a website, right?
I have a website, northpointweb.com.
Okay.
And it's there, and I actually get a lot of traffic to it, oddly enough, because in the state of Florida, there's an insurance company called North Point Insurance.
Oh, okay, good.
People who are often, I didn't know this when I got the name, but I know now, and people who are often looking for them or their phone number or their website end up on my website.
Yeah,
so
that's okay.
I get a lot of traffic, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's a bonus. And now what I wanted to ask you about the this main niche.
Oh, right, right.
So it had something to do, I guess, with the areas that you're involved in as far as the financial insurance thing. And there's so what's the main niche thing?
Well, you know, what I like to do and what I've really focused my practice around more than anything when it comes to new business.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever heard of an author by the name of Douglas Andrew, he wrote a book called Missed Fortune.
Okay.
Also, another book, basically the same information but a little bit smaller. Missed Fortune is the War and Peace version. It's huge. He wrote another book called Missed Fortune 101. And actually, very recently, he wrote a book called The Last Chance Millionaire. It's all the books are basically about the same thing, about how to... take equity, you know, dead idle equity that's in your home, that may be trapped in your home, and turning it into an investment where the money is safe and it's liquid and it enjoys a rate of return, as well as giving you several tax benefits while you're growing your money and building a retirement off of your dead idle equity.
Okay.
And it's not for everyone, I'll admit, you know, but it's certainly a wonderful, in my opinion anyway, a wonderful planning strategy.
Is there a name for that strategy?
What's that now?
Is there a particular name for the strategy, or?
No, it's the nickname for it is called either strategic equity planning or the missed fortune strategy. You know, since this author was the first one to really bring it to the scene.
Okay.
The title of the book is the nickname, but he refers to it as strategic equity planning. So that's one thing you can do, and I think it's fantastic. I mean, the idea of being able to say, okay, here I have $100,000 of home equity.
Mm-hmm.
sitting in the home, it doesn't have a rate of return. It's not growing on its own. The amount of equity I have grows, but there's no return on it. And so, like, you could take those equity dollars out. It'll cost you $6,000 a year, let's say, in interest to be able to borrow it and bring it out. Mm-hmm. Maybe $6,500 for the year, but by the time it's done in a conservative investment strategy using an insurance, and we use, in this case, this is where I'm talking about using life insurance contracts strategically, so that the money doesn't lose and it always has a rate of return. Mm-hmm. You're very realistically pulling down 7 and even 8, in some cases 9% or even more. But I'd say the safe average would be to say maybe 7.9 to 8.3%. And you're earning $65,000 to $7,000 a year on the investment, which is more than what you're paying for it. And that investment money, that compounds, the interest that you pay, that's simple interest.
Mm-hmm.
The interest that you earn is compounding. So each year it compounds more and more and more upon itself. And over the space of, you know, 20 and even 30 years, even sometimes in some cases, if it's a significant amount of money, 15 years, then people have an extraordinarily wonderful of retirement that they never would have had if they'd never touched the equity that was in their home.
Sounds so, pretty good.
You know, and then you consider the equity that they're paying for, that $6,000 is coming out of their pocket. But wait, there's more. That's in the United States, that's a tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're borrowing it the right way, and there's certain rules to that, but in many cases, that's a tax deduction. And so even though it's costing them six out of pocket, it's really only costing them four after taxes. So and so they're only paying $4,000 to earn $7,500.
I got to say, it's very important to listeners that, you know, might be interested in things like this to talk to a professional.
Absolutely.
Because there's so many things, I'm sure, you know, even aside from this, that, you know, the regular average Joe does not know.
You know, not just any professional. I mean, there are a lot of insurance professionals out there that may be offended by what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do something like this, don't just talk to an insurance professional, even if you think he's smart. Really seek out someone who's been trained by the guy who wrote the book. He has a school. It's called the Equity Alliance Matrix, or TEAM, T-E-A-M for short. And I'm going to tell you, if anyone's really serious about implementing this strategy with their clients, they're going to seek this guy out and they're going to go to a school.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, it's not just because of the training, but we're all part of the network. And that network, I don't want to use the word policed,
mm-hmm.
but we have to maintain a special code of ethics or standards to be able to be a part of that community. And when someone is, I think that's at least one guarantee that you can have.
Okay, so you're part of that, and you've had that training.
I am.
Josh is the guy to see, folks. Josh is the guy to see.
Yeah, northpointweb.com. Come on down.
That's right. We'll get that in again later, too.
If I'm not licensed in your state, it only takes a fee in 2 weeks to do it. So.
There you go.
That's right.
What kind of clientele do you get? Like, would you say from all walks of life, or...?
You know, here in California and where I am, I'm in Placer County. It's kind of a clientele here. There's a little more money and there's a little more, you know, affluence going around.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say all walks of life. I'm not opposed to working with anyone, but you know, more of the people here, they're making $150,000, $200,000 a year. They got their kids, and you know, they're all going to night schools, and they're driving nice cars. And
that's what I was going to ask you. Most of the people have kids, or do you find some smaller family?
Most of the clients I end up dealing with are mid 40s, and although mm-hmm. they do fairly well for themselves, they've completely neglected their retirement, and they don't have anything going for their kids' college, although they should. And you know, so that's usually what I end up coming across.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm working with people, and you know, in some instances I work with it's either that or I'm working with older people who are or very near retirement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just realize that they have a lot of equity in their home and they can do something really fantastic, and even though they have a decent retirement, they're like, hey, I can live in this decent retirement for the next 7 or 8 years, and then that much time later, after having done this misfortune stuff, I can have double or three times the retirement that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they realize that, then they'll work with me. You know, I get a lot of clients like that as well.
Okay, and back to a little bit of information about your website. You have, maybe we can discuss some of the forms that you have on there?
You know, the forms that I have on there, I think I have a discipline. accessibility quote and maybe a couple of different service-related forms.
And are those forms, though, that somebody would fill out and they would go to you for information type thing?
What they download them, fill them out, and fax them back to me.
Okay.
Or you can scan them. And that's really mostly for, those are servicing forms mostly for my clients and for the convenience of people I deal with and work with here on this end.
Okay.
But they're there. And, you know, every now and then someone will send one over and say, I got this off your website. And I'll be like, oh, okay, great. Because then all the information that I need to be able to help you.
Exactly. And I notice also that you have some different tools on there, calculators and planning tools and some different things. And
yeah, there's sort of actually, you know, if you like those kinds of services or those kinds of calculators, my website, I got to admit, I'm impressed by the selection of calculators that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't come from me. You know, it's not even a service that I pay. It's really just a clever forwarding trick I use with HTML that brings you to some calculators on Ameris Life's website. Ameris is an insurance company,
mm-hmm.
and they've recently changed their name to Aviva, but the calculators are still there. They're still valid. Actually, I should double check that and make sure, but last time I checked, a couple months ago, they were still there and still
mm-hmm.
valid. And it's a great selection of calculators for anyone looking to do just get some ideas about, you know, planning in general. I don't know if you're using them, so you're not going to trigger a response or a call from me or anyone else. It's just go on, feel free to check them out and, you know, see if your planning is on target.
Yeah, it's got to be handy for some people. We're going to have to take another break here, and I want to come back to just a little more about your website and then get into some, you know, maybe some of the more day-to-day activities that you endure through the day in the business that you're involved in. And we'll be back right after this. Okay, we're back, and we were discussing some information about your website, some of the planning tools you have on there and that type of thing, and also that you have an events area on the site. And what type of events would you see from North Point?
Well, I would say through 2005 and 2006, and that's when we designed the website,
mm-hmm.
we were really heavily into doing financial seminars.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And also, that's during the time that we had the office, and so we also would have customer appreciation parties, and I even did a couple of different, you know, dinners and whatnot, and special events for clients and things like that during that time. And it was easier, you know, when we had the staff to be able to do that stuff. So
right, right.
And I'll admit, having a staff, there is that is one of the perks to it, because I'm not doing it all by myself, and I can assign tasks.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, that's why we had the events, because we had, you know, every other week we had something new going on, you know, for people to come by and visit open houses or seminars. Or something.
That's great, and that's probably some great advertising as well, and that's the next thing I wanted to ask you about was advertising, word-of-mouth advertising, paper, radio. What kind of advertising do you do as a business?
You know, at this point, I've been at it for 10 years, and people know who I am now, and
okay.
mm-hmm. and I have a good reputation, so I'll admit I don't have to do a lot anymore. I mean, but to say that I have to do none would be a lie and would be erroneous, but I don't have to do a lot, which is nice.
So you probably do rely a lot on word of mouth, clients to...
It's word of mouth, referrals, you know,
mm-hmm.
or repeat business, and remember I said, you know, every year to 2 years, usually more like 18 months, I'm seeing people again, and
right, okay,
this has changed, and we got to do this, and you should change that, and, you know, so things happen where I'm making new commissions off of just, you know, doing my work and my follow-ups.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not bad. I mean, to know that before I wrote, and then also, you know, I have, with business on the books, I have trails. That means commission trails that'll just continue on forever.
Right.
Anywhere from a couple of years to forever, depending on the kind of product and the way that I took the commission on it to begin with. And
mm-hmm.
I have trails that, you know, before I wake up in the morning, I won't say what I'm making, but before I wake up in the morning, I make more than most people do. You know.
Yeah, so, that's great.
You know, I make more. I make about the average, you know, the average middle American salary just off my trails. So I'm not gonna lie to you. I like that.
That sure sounds good. That's for sure.
Yeah.
What about like your day to day activities? Okay, so you're making money while you're sleeping. That's cool. And then you get up in the morning. And now, do you allot a certain time of day to new clients? A certain time amount of time to?
You know, at this point, it's I get into the office. You know, no matter when I'm up in the morning, I'm usually in my office here in the house. I have a separate office, you know, all kind of separated from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And by 9 o'clock, I try and keep traditional hours. I'm usually done by 2 or 3. And what I do is I devote the morning time to taking care of service issues.
Right.
You know, and every day there's always something new. Somebody's, you know, this or somebody's that needs help with this, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll handle those service issues. And then after that, you know, as we get towards, you know, closer to the lunchtime, that's when I start trying to do, like, some networking, you know, just kind of getting to out there and putting my face out there, whether I'm going to go and just walk into places and say, hey, here I am, you know, my name's Josh Gold, and I've been at this for a while, and I,
right.
you know, and I'll do that and just drop my card places, and sometimes that works, or sometimes I'll just, I'll call up, like, a mortgage broker, a real estate agent, or a CPA, or some sort of a professional, and I'll set up a lunch meeting where I say, hey, you know, I'm going to buy you lunch. Let's just talk about who I am and what I do. You tell me about who you are and what you do, and I'm not making any promises, but, you know, we might like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, out of 10 people I'll take out, I might make a relationship with one or two.
Right.
You know, so it's not like I'm just out there gangbusters making great relationships and getting referrals from everyone, but every now and then I'll make a good relationship and something will spark between me and another person and we'll get along and I may never get a referral off them, but maybe they'll get a referral off of me and it does so late, they do such a good job that the client loves me and I'll get in more business from the client. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
every now and then that'll happen. I've got maybe an arsenal now of 20 or so different professionals that I can turn to for different things that I feel are specialists in their field. So.
And what about the types of tools you might use, computers, software, that kind of thing? Are there must be some specialty items that you'd use in your business? Or
you could spend all kinds of time and money talking and buying, you know.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, I mean, I love Macs. I'm not going to lie to you.
Anymore.
I'll be your friend if you have a Mac, you know.
Yeah.
But which is a heartbreaker when you're in the insurance business, because nothing about it is compatible to Macs at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have an arsenal of PCs around the house and office as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they all do, you know, I've got a separate server, and the server is there's this little law that's abbreviated. It's called HIPAA. And if you're in the United States, you've probably heard of it if you do anything in medical or insurance or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the Health Insurance Affordability and Privacy Act or something like that, I think is what it stands for. But anyway, long story short, I have all my computers and my network here is on a complete and total lockdown. And it's all very well protected, you know, and you have to have all the software and everything to do that. And you have to have, you know, none of my computers here are slow. You know, people call me a snob when it comes to my computers, and I go, well, I'd like to say that's true, but the fact is they just all have to be, you know, state-of-the-art to be able to run all this stuff.
That and the confidentiality, that definitely has to be protected as well.
Exactly. Well, yeah, but exactly. But, I mean, I'm talking like, you know, I've got to run terminal server and all these different things on just all... I'm not going to get into the details because they take forever.
Mm-hmm.
But with the way that I have things set up, and I'm very HIPAA compliant, and I'm very into technology, and I'm very into allowing technology to do the jobs that otherwise would have to be done by people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got a lot of things going all the time, you know. Like for example, you send me a fax, it comes to my email digitally, but I don't use a service like eFax or whatever else. I actually have an email server, you know, copy your fax machine here that handles that, you know, and it's all, you know, hardwired into here, and then it over the network pops it into my email, you know,
mm-hmm.
like that. And it's all very cool, I'll admit, you know, and I hate to have to reconnect it all again.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you find a lot of folks are is everybody still faxing, or have they gone more digital?
I'll admit, I am surprised, but yes, I get a lot of faxes, you know, and the reason why is because, you know, Ma and Pa, whoever, you know, retired couple, old, you know, former business owner, whoever,
mm-hmm.
all they still have is their fax machine, and no one's ever taught them what a scanner is.
Right.
So, you know, let alone how to use it. So I get a lot of faxes, you know, from my clients when I need things, and vice versa. I have to use faxes a lot to send things out to them. And a lot of the communications that happen between insurance companies and offices like mine are still done by fax, simply because, to create the infrastructure to go email on everything is just a lot of work for them. And you can email, but here's the thing. You say, well, can I email this to you? Oh, well, you can, but why don't you just use our fax number? You know, so.
Right.
It's just for them, it's, you know, I guess it's just easier.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious about that because I know, like, you know, so many businesses that I deal with and so forth, it's always, it seems to be still the faxing thing, whereas, you know, I'd always prefer to get, like, a send me a PDF, email to me something. I mean, it comes right away. You don't have to, you know, worry, like, on my end here, I use the computers even for the faxing and stuff, so I don't have to play around with that. It's just so much easier, but I find everybody's still faxing, too.
Right, you know, I have it set up where I can do things very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I receive them electronically. I send them out. I could send 40 pages of a fax in less than a minute because it's a fast scanner. And, you know, and if I have 10 fax, if I have 10 faxes to send, I scan one in real fast, dial another number in, scan the next one. It all goes very quickly, and I don't have to wait, you know. And that's kind of how I like it because, especially now that I'm working alone, I need to have all the conveniences, you know, available. You know?
Right.
So I'll admit it's all you know, high tech. Yeah, hoorah.
Well, one thing that I found that was really cool was like the e-fax type service where somebody could actually fax to a number and it would still come to my email or to my desktop as a, you know.
Yeah.
Even though it was faxed, so.
I used to use that stuff, but then it was just one more application I'd have to run to check it, you know.
Yeah, in your case, I'm sure it's different, but you know, for me to, you know, without major business or anything like that, it was kind of handy to be able to get a fax, because you had a fax number, yet it would still, to me, ends up coming in a form of an email, so that was pretty cool.
Absolutely. And but, there's other services out there that I've used that are, you know, if not as good, then maybe even better, who knows. You know, they're just out there. There's all kinds.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah, there are all kinds. This is just one that kind of pull out of a hat here, that a name I remember even. But we got to take another break right now, and when we come back, the next segment, I want to talk about some actual financial planning.
Okay.
So that'd be pretty neat. We'll be back right after these messages. Okay, we're back, and of course, we're talking to Josh Golden, president and founder of North Point Financial and Insurance Services.
There you go.
It's a long name. I have to remember every time.
It is.
So now we're going to get into a little bit of the financial planning and insurance services and things like that. What types of plans do you offer? Like, you know, I know that you sort of gear things towards a certain area.
Right. You know,
like you mentioned, but...
I my niche, personally, yes, it is in the misfortune planning we spoke of earlier, but I still believe in traditional products. I think they definitely have their place. And when I say that, I don't mean to say that, oh, they have their place. No, I mean, they really have a valid place, and they need to be used. You know, so when it comes to the securities and the mutual funds and, you know, the things that are, like, for example, the things that people think of when they think of financial planning, you know, in a traditional sense, then, yeah, I like to say I can't do them, and I won't do them, but... I use other agents, and most particularly a gentleman that I will mention the name of, by the name of Ken Solis, out here, he's in California, and he has an office in Newcastle, California. Fantastic, young, talented agent. He's been at it almost 10 years now. I'd say young because he's younger than me. I'm in my early 30s. He's a little younger than I am, but he's been at it, again, almost 10 years himself, and he's just fantastic. People, two times our age even in their 50s, 60s, 70s who've been doing it for a long time and are still doing it, go to him for advice.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, he's a really talented securities agent, and he knows his stuff. He just knows it well. And I've decided that for everything, you know, securities, I'll use him. You know?
And why would somebody use a company like your company, North Point, as opposed to using a bank or another institution? Like, what would you say the benefits are?
It's kind of like this. I mean, you know, who do you want to see? Do you want to see a generalist or do you want to see a specialist?
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to something as important as money. All right, let's equate this to your health. Mm-hmm. I don't know where your listeners are going to be, but whether they're in the mountain, you know, like Colorado, Utah, they're probably Intermountain Healthcare. Out here in California, we have something called Kaiser Permanente, and there's these huge healthcare providers, you know, where they sell their own insurance and they have their own hospitals and everything, right?
Right.
And I tell you, do you want to be herded like cattle when you're having your checkups done, or do you want to feel
no.
like, or do you want to feel like you're special, you know? And I have clients that are on Kaiser. Out here we do Kaiser, and they are on Kaiser, and they all, and many of them love it because Kaiser has all their services all inclusive, and all you know, they can get their prescriptions cheap, and they love it. But they all tell me the same thing. I feel like I'm a cow just being driven when I'm in the office.
The only Kaiser I want is with some meat and cheese between.
There you go. And I have to say, not to downgrade the quality of the care, they give good care.
Right.
But the fact is, you really are being pushed through like cow. You know, and you get that sense, you get that feeling. And everyone I've talked to about it who's been there feels that way. Well, I feel it's the same way when you go to the bank. The person you're dealing with is probably not a specialist. In fact, they probably haven't been working at that bank for very long. And in fact, are probably there only because they haven't found something better yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not to say they're all that way, but I've met several who are. And considering the odds, you know, you're better off finding someone who is a specialist, you know, who, even though they work from home and all this stuff, you know, I work from home because I want to be with my kids. I value
sure.
my family. You know, I value my family, and in turn, I'm going to value your time and your ability to be able to be with yours as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and that includes, you know, the money that you make and being able to provide for them. And it's not just me, but there's a whole arsenal of guys out there, men and women, who really care about those things and who work just like I do, where they work either on their own or in a small office setting or whatever else, but they're just wonderful at what they do. And
sure.
we all have the same access to all the big products that you've heard of, and we don't charge more money for it, and
mm-hmm.
it's all the same. You know, it's just that it's the way we choose to work, you know.
I think I would tend to respect that more in somebody that I was going to for these services.
Certainly I would. And I think a lot of people may be afraid of the fact that because we work on our own like this, that maybe we might charge more fees or we might not be able to get the better deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that may be true when you're buying a screwdriver from Walmart versus from the neighborhood, you know, hardware store, you know.
Right.
Or whatever else, or from Home Depot versus the neighborhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not true in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different game.
What I'd like to do is maybe throw a few words, a few scenarios, a few things at you, and just see what your general take is on some of the things, because I think that might be of interest for listeners. When I mention something like family, what comes to mind?
I think of love, man. I think of love, and when I think of it in terms of my work, I think of it, what can I do to make the family life of my clients better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that also comes from my college background in psychology.
Okay.
I'll put it to work if you're in my office.
And it's good that you mentioned the college education, because my next word was education. What comes to mind for you when you hear the word education?
I think in terms of work, I think of what do I got to do to make it possible for you or your family to have one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the first thing I think of.
How about retirement?
Oh, I think
not your retirement.
Oh, I know. I think of headaches because that's what I think of first thing. I just think of, oh, yeah, yeah, headache, you know, because so many people that come to me are in their, you know, that are like, say, in their mid-50s, want to retire by 60 or 65, and they've maybe got 50 grand saved. You know, or maybe at best 100 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you want to retire and they're making 10 grand a year, I mean, I'm sorry, 10 grand a month, rather, I'm sorry.
Right.
And they want to be able to live that way or better. Well, you know what? You've got to have literally in the millions of dollars to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got to figure out how I'm going to make it work for them. And I can. It's hard, and you've got to be committed, and you've got to be able to be willing to take some of that income that you enjoy and put it to work rather than enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's a headache because, you know, people can, it's a reality check, and a reality check is always a headache.
Here's another one. I'm curious to hear what you think of when some of these things come to mind. Children, inheritance.
I think of 6 months.
6 months. Why?
I think of 6 months because it takes the average inheritance only 6 months to wither away and die.
Okay.
People spend it that fast. I don't care if it's $10,000 or $10 million.
I think that folks, when they have an inheritance come and think that, you know, they're going to do this with it, they're going to do that with it, do all kinds of things, and maybe they will if it's a substantial amount, but like you say, it's going to go fast.
It goes, yeah, the average inheritance is gone within 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and then, if we had more time, I could tell you a story of the Vanderbilts versus the Rothschilds. That's a whole other story, all the, you know, we could do a whole other show on that one.
Okay, we'll have to consider that one.
But it certainly illustrates the point of, you know, how one family kept their wealth and how another one spent it all away.
Oh, okay, it does sound like a good story. What about investments?
Investments, when I think of investments, I think of the traditionals. Even though mm-hmm. I don't deal in traditional investing, when I hear the word, I think of the traditional IRAs and 401ks and other you know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds. That's the first things that come to my mind. And the reason why is because when my clients come to me, that's the first thing that comes to their mind when I say that word to them.
Investments and the possibility of what? Making money, basically?
Yeah.
Through investments?
Now when you throw it together like that, when you say investments and making money in the same sentence,
right?
Then I think, hey, I know, huh? Because I know a lot of people with investments that are losing money. That's why they come to me.
Okay.
But when I think of making money, oddly enough, I think of real estate.
Oh.
I think of real estate and education. Real estate is, you know, and which brings a really great point. There's a wonderful institution called Nouveau Riche University. It's just getting started. It's still not even broken ground on the university, but they're going to be the first real estate investment school in the country out of Scottsdale, Arizona, is where they're building their campus.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be a real estate, not a real estate school as in get a license. I mean a real estate investor education school.
Wow.
And you know, when I say that, because most of the clients that I have that have done well for themselves, either before or after they come to me,
mm-hmm.
Made most of their money and are wealthy as they are because of real estate.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of real estate. So when I recently heard about this school opening up in Arizona, I thought, well, you know, that's going to be fantastic.
Well, who's not a fan of Carlton Sheets?
Yeah, well Carlton Sheets, God love him. He's a pretty good guy, but, you know, that's the school of Barnes & Noble, if you ask me.
Yeah. You know, that's where he's making his money.
You know, it's the same thing as, you know, buying a book and then not having any support, whereas you go to a school, when you go to a school and graduate from it, a college, they have placement assistance and all these different things, help you find a job, you know, career counseling center. Well, it's just going to be the same idea behind this Investors University. They're going to help you get
right
started on your investments as well.
Okay, we're running out of time. I just want to get a couple more really quick ones in. Homes, that's basically the real estate stuff we're talking about.
Well, when I think of homes, I mean, in context of my work, I think of equity,
mm-hmm.
and I think of lost opportunities.
And what about renting and buying, or even renting versus buying?
Buy. Bye.
And bye for us. We're out of time here on You Talking to Me Show. I'm your host, Big JD, and I've been talking to Josh Golden. He's the president and founder of North Point Financial Services. You can find him on the web. And the name of the website again, Josh?
NorthPointWeb.com, just like it sounds.
NorthPointWeb.com. Check that out. I really appreciate you being on the show, Josh.
Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD. A different topic, a different guest, every week, right here on the All Talk Radio Network. For more information, visit the website, www.youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me. youtalkingtome.ca.